Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
I don't know what it's like in your house, but I am the go-to guy when equipment fails. And of anyone course. Who knows me in here knows that I am not the go-to guy for that kind of stuff. But I am by default in my own house.
Wow.
And one of the things I get constantly badgered about is the printer. Daddy, the printer's not working. Now, that's enough of a pain when all they're printing out is sheets for colouring. But imagine if it was your gaff.
Daddy, printer's not working.
Yeah, our house is only half printed and the toner's gone. Well, 3D printed houses could be the future. They're cheap, they're quick to build, and God knows we need gaffs and we need them fast in this country. On the line to explain just how we're going to deal with it all is Matthew Griffin, futurist, innovation and strategy expert, which is possibly the coolest title of any guest we've had on the show. Matthew, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. How are you guys?
Very well. It's Dermot here. Dave's with me as well. Very excited about the idea of a 3D printed house because, as I said, we need cheap housing. We need it fast in this country. Is 3D housing the answer?
So, in short, yes. Now, for anyone who thinks I'm sort of biased by saying I've got no interest or investments by seeing any 3D printing companies, et cetera, et cetera. But when you start looking at the figures, for example, today, if you want to build a four-bed house, a four-bed detached house, it will typically take about 2 to 3 months to lay the brickwork and all the foundations and everything else. Imagine being able to cut that down to 2 days. And we can already do that with 3D printed houses. In addition to that, just think about all the materials that we use to build those houses. Now imagine being able to cut those down by at least 60%. Again, that's here today. So when you start having a look at the economics as well, we've 3D printed houses across Europe, particularly Eastern Europe and Northern Europe. So places like Norway, France, Holland, Ukraine, as well as the sort of west coast of the US, China, UAE as well, where you have 3D printed government offices and buildings, as well as houses and homes. And the cost of building a four-bedroom detached house, for example, the one that was recently built in France, €24,000. Jeez. Compare that to the actual cost of building a four-bed detached house in a traditional way in Ireland.
Can you explain
just on the numbers?
Oh, yeah, just the numbers, it makes sense. Can you explain exactly how 3D printing works? There's people, I'm sure, who've heard of the term, but don't necessarily understand exactly what's involved.
No, absolutely. So it's sort of almost one of these alien-like sci-fi concepts. So if you imagine the printer, I said that you have at home, just ignore that.
Okay.
the best way to describe the way that we 3D print houses is it's very, very similar to the way that you put icing onto a cake. Right. What you have is you have an icing bag, you squeeze the icing bag, and out of the nozzle at the end, in that case, comes icing. But in this case, we are replacing the icing bag with a robot that has a similar size, sort of similar shaped nozzle. But rather than piping out icing in layers, it's piping out concrete. Now, so it's a very mechanized, automated process. And say, for example, you want to build a circular house. And these are some of the different things that you can do with 3D printed houses. They don't have to be the square boxes that we see today or the rectangular boxes that we see today. You can simply send a 3D printing robot to site. And these things kind of resemble sort of miniature cranes. They look quite odd. If you've ever seen a scaffolding rig at a concert, for example, they're mounted on that kind of thing. And the robot will, just like the piping bag, if you want to print a circular house, for example, it will just keep going in circles, laying concrete on top of one another until it gets to the top. And that's it. That's your circular house. If you want to print a square house, same thing. It just prints a square, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Would there be any pushback from builders? Because there's a lot of hands in that trough, you know, that goes into building a house at the moment. And if you can suddenly start doing them for $24,000, a lot of people's noses will be out of joint.
Oh, absolutely. So in London, just to put it into perspective, IKEA are now considering the possibility of letting people name their own pricing for houses. So, you know, you say, I've got €50,000, build me a house. And of course, with 3D printing, you can build quite a nice big house, basically for €50,000, let alone the land is still an issue, obviously, but aside from that. But when you have a look at the regular building trade, The UK has generally been quite slow to adopt the technology simply because the building trade have got very, very good at building houses in the way that they build them today. You know, that's their status quo. They operate very lean and efficiently and all that kind of stuff. So typically what we see with most sort of new disruptive technologies is the people who disrupt the industry are generally outside of the industry. If you have a look, for example, Google were the first to produce fully autonomous vehicles. They're a search company. Elon Musk, basically, who invented PayPal or, you know, founded PayPal, bought along the electric car revolution. You know, and the same goes for all of these different industries that are being disrupted. Elon Musk with SpaceX disrupted the American space industry. He's now disrupting the communications industry. So it's the same with 3D printed houses and buildings. A lot of the people who are disrupting the industry don't come from the industry. They are external to it.
And won't some of the trades still be used? For example, what you're describing sounds to me like you're replacing the kind of the block work that goes into the kind of external walls and into the foundations. But in terms of everything else, excuse me, that needs to happen inside, roofing, plastering, everything, like that still needs to happen.
Absolutely. So the 3D printer will print the shell of the house. If you think of the foundations and the brickwork that you have today, that's what it prints. Technology accelerates fast, though. So today you still need plasterers to come in. You need people to put the glazing in, the roofs on, you know, the pipework and the electrics in. So you absolutely need that. But if you now start having a look at what we're doing with 3D printers in the car industry, over in the US, we've got a company called Big Rep. That is completely 3D printed a fully functional, fully autonomous electric car in one piece.
Right.
So over time, we're already starting to see new ways that we can, for example, 3D print pipework into a 3D printed house. You just kind of leave a hole.
Okay.
Not quite that straightforward, but you kind of leave a hole. From an electrics perspective, you can 3D print copper wiring directly into it as well. But that's at the very bleeding edge. However, over the next 10 years, if we're having this conversation in 10 years' time, these problems will have been solved and you'll be able to 3D print the vast bulk of the entire house. Even when we have a look at plastering, one company called Apiscore, in order to eliminate the need to plaster the internal walls, they just attached a slightly different nozzle on the robot and the walls are all perfectly flat.
Isn't it about time we updated how we build houses? I'm sure if you walk around George and Dublin, those houses weren't built in a very different manner. They might have had less mechanical equipment, but it's pretty much the same way, isn't it?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, if you have a look at the way that we build houses today, can you really argue that it's changed in the past 500 years? Everything has changed, basically, except that, you know, and the law industry or the legal industry. But it's when you have a look at the way that we build houses, offices and things today, it's incredibly inefficient. So, for example, you have to get all of your raw materials to site, firstly. With a 3D printed house, you can actually build everything on the site. So you can use material. And in NASA's case, and this sounds like a silly one, we're able to turn Martian and lunar regolith into the building material on the site. So imagine not having to transport any material to site, but now starting to use the material that was on the site to print the the building. When you have a look at the way that we build, I mean, we've got houses going up left, right, and centre around by us. We've got 15,000 houses being built, and we've had building companies that have had trouble with contractors. They've had trouble with investors. It's chaotic. You know, it's when we start 3D printing houses, for example, we 3D printed a community in Mexico in a day, and those houses were printed for $2,000. Wow. And they're small, admittedly.
Yeah.
It doesn't compare.
I watch some 3D printing stuff on YouTube. I like to build guitars occasionally. And I've seen guys 3D print guitar parts and 3D print bodies and necks and things like that. But often the video is, okay, I'm going to bed now and I'm going to see what happens in the morning. And I come back in the morning and go, oh no, the computer, the 3D program didn't do it right. And now this bit's broken and I've got to start again. Like, what's the error rate like at the construction industry level?
So zero. Because right. it's... just like icing a cake, all you are doing is you have a robot that just prints concrete layers on top of each other. It's not that difficult to process. And in terms of speed, you're absolutely right. But this is where, over time, the performance, the cost, and the efficiency of all these different technologies accelerates exponentially. And just to give you a slightly obtuse example, about 2 years ago, if you wanted to 3D print an Adidas sneaker, it would have taken you about 2 to 3 days. It would have been really awkward and you'd have just tossed it in the bin. Now we can use a technology that uses a type of photosensitive gel, a 3D printer that incorporates lasers, and you can 3D print an Adidas sneaker now in about 2 seconds.
Wow. It's so much quicker than your trainers coming from China, Dave. They take months.
Well, absolutely. So, for example, you know, in Adidas's case, they want to now 3D print millions of trainers in this way, which now means you no longer need to manufacture them in China. You no longer need to transport them. You can make them on demand. You can personalize them in new ways. Adidas can sell them for more profit because your shoe is different to somebody else's. And in addition to that, as a retailer, they no longer need to hold any inventory whatsoever, which is retailers' biggest cost. And that is the same technology that comes to the building industry, albeit in a slightly different way. We change the technology, you change the processes. Regulators are starting to jump in as well, because one of the problems that we have with 3D printed buildings was people would go, are they safe? So building controls and regulators need to come in and evaluate them. They need to rewrite some of the codes in some cases. And as we've seen across different other countries, but once you've 3D printed anything, and once the regulators have approved it and gone, we approve this design, provided you've ticked all these different boxes, it becomes a de facto standard. And certainly from a business perspective, when you have a look at the numbers, if I can 3D print you a 4-bedroom detached house for €24,000 in 2 days, basically with 60% less material, so it's better for the environment, are you going to fight that?
Yeah.
Seems unlikely.
You know what, Matthew, I'm worried about one of my favorite shows, Grand Designs, because this 3D printing is going to wreck that show. Because like all the fun parts of, they don't get the roof on, but it starts to rain. The windows never arrive from Germany. They can't get the digger up the slanty driveway.
Like, I've come back 10 months later.
You barely have time to get out of the car before the house is built.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, on the one hand, you know, Grand Design suddenly turns into, so how's your building project? And they go, well, 2 days ago, there was no house. Now there's a house. And my wife and I are still married and we love each other very much. And we've had no arguments. So, firstly, you know, the divorce rate drops, you know, which is another sort of good thing.
And they won't be living in that mobile home out the back then.
Exactly. You know, with the kids driving you crazy. Yeah.
Matthew Griffin, futurist, innovation and strategy expert. Sorry to cut you off, but we have to move on. Thank you so much for filling us in on that. And we do look forward to another conversation, maybe in 5 years or 10 years, where, as you said, this becomes de facto. But thanks so much for telling us all about that.
Take care.
Thanks, Matthew.
Cheers.
Bye.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live on air from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.